Isn't that a wonderful way to begin our, end our 2023 and begin our 2024? May we have many more times of baptisms this coming year and professions of faith. This morning, before I begin my sermon, I want to give a shout out to the men at the El Dorado Correctional Facility. I was able to go and visit there a few weeks ago, and what I found out was that they watch our service every week. This service gets piped into their closed circuit television, and I believe it's Thursday. So welcome all of you men joining us there on Thursday. How many of you in this room know who the backup quarterback is to Patrick Mahomes? Anybody? Maybe one person, maybe two people know who that person is. The answer is Blaine Gabbert. Now, some of you who are devout fans who know the whole roster may have known that, but I had never heard of him. I had to Google it to find out who he was, because backups aren't always well known because they're not always in the spotlight. You might know their name, and you can look them up on Wikipedia and find out some of their bio, but you don't know how they're going to perform. You don't know what they're capable of. This morning, we're looking at Joshua chapter 1, and here, the backup is coming in to take over leadership. So we'll start in Joshua 1, and we'll read the first five verses. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, to the Euphrates River in the east, and to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail you or abandon you." So as a leader, Moses was the greatest of all time. And I don't believe it's an exaggeration to say that he was the best leader up to this point in the history of the world. I mean, Deuteronomy 34:10 tells us he was the greatest prophet. He was face to face with God. This is the man that led an entire nation out of captivity from Egypt. He was able to go before the Pharaoh and perform miracles. When they got to the Red Sea, he raised his hands and the sea parted. This man faithfully followed God into the unknown. He was called a servant of God. That's who Moses is. That's the guy that Joshua is coming in to replace. And God tells Joshua here, "Okay, Joshua, Moses is dead. You're up. It is your turn to lead these people." Now, Joshua is a capable leader. He is a warrior. He has led people into battle. He was one of the 12 spies that went in to scout out the promised land. He is capable, but for 40 years now, he has served as the number two guy to Moses. He has been the assistant year after year after year. Imagine stepping into that position, being the person to fill the shoes of Moses. Imagine the immense pressure and expectations which would be thrust upon you. What's it look like for the number two guy to step in and take leadership? Well, let's imagine. The Chiefs have a big game today. We want them to clinch a playoff spot. And we all know that it hasn't been the easiest season this year. So let's imagine it is now the AFC Championship, and the Chiefs are playing. The first possession, out comes Blaine Gabbert. You would think, who's this guy? Where's number 15? Bring out Patrick! And there will be the inevitable comparisons between the two. Can this guy dive horizontally and complete a pass? I don't think so. The first time he gets sacked, the first incomplete pass, criticism will start coming. This guy has no legs. He can't throw the ball. Why can't we get into the red zone? Why do we have to keep settling for a field goal? And it doesn't matter who you are. When the person you're stepping in to replace is an all-star, you can't come in day one and fill those shoes. And that part of human nature hasn't changed over time. Joshua, can you part the Red Sea? I don't think so. I mean, you were there and you're not the one that did it. Joshua is going to face criticism. How many times does someone tell Joshua, that's not the way Moses did it? And we know this will happen because people are people. And change is difficult. Some people love change because they hated the way things were going before. And some people fight change tooth and nail. So Joshua has his work cut out for him. And here in chapter 1, the Lord both, he reaffirms a promise to Joshua and he encourages him. Going back to verse 5, we'll read through verse 9. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. Here's a promise. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua receives a command from the Lord. No matter where you are and your place in life right now, be strong and courageous. He is given a promise that the Lord will be with him wherever he goes. And he is given instructions to obey what he has learned from Moses and what is written in the book of instruction. In the book of instruction, or as the NIV calls it, the book of the law, it's the first five books of our Bible today. It's what Joshua would have had. It's also called the Mosaic Law. Now, when I think of the word law, first thing that comes to my mind are police officers, judges, the judicial system. When I think of law, I think if I get caught breaking a law, there's a punishment that will follow. If I obey the law, then there is no punishment. And the law in modern day terms helps us to live in a civil society. It brings order to our life. It brings order to the flow of traffic. It is established to protect our rights and offer us safety. And with the law of Moses, there are aspects just like that. There are rules established to keep justice in society, the do's and the don'ts. But in addition to laws like that, the law is also a book of instruction. It is a user manual for life. It helped them to keep a civil society, but it also gave them ways to live physically healthy and spiritually healthy lives. The law was given so people knew how to live a life that honored God, which is still true of the book that I hold in my hands today. Joshua was to obey this law. Don't deviate it from the right or to the left. Study this book. Meditate on this book. Let it absorb into your mind. Let it become part of you. Let it change who you are. Obey what it says. And God promised Joshua, and then I will bless you. Now, this is not a health and wealth kind of gospel. This is not a, if I do X, then I will become rich. I will live for 150 years. This is not that. In fact, God never told Joshua that your life is going to be easy. God does not tell Joshua, oh, okay, march into that village, that town, and everyone's going to come to you and lay their weapons before you and surrender. No, he tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. And you don't need to be strong or courageous unless there is something big and scary standing before you. David, he went out to face a giant, and he had to be strong and courageous. Mary, when the angel came to her and said, you're going to give birth, and I know you're not married, she had to be strong and courageous. And now Joshua here, he is given a big task to go and claim the land that was promised to them, and he must be strong and very courageous. And God says to him, do not worry, because I will be with you. I will not abandon you. This is Joshua's call upon his life. 1:6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. Joshua is the man who's been selected to fulfill a prophecy and a promise that was given centuries before. All right, Joshua, get ready. Strap on your gear. It's gonna get messy. And be strong and very courageous. It's as if God is telling Joshua, you're gonna question if you are the right person for this position. You may question your abilities. You may want to run away at times and just quit. But be assured, I chose you for this. You are the one I put into this place. I placed you where you are in life. I raised you up. So be strong and very courageous. That's where Joshua found his place in life. So where do you find your place in life right now? What's that big, scary thing in front of you? Is it your job? Is it a broken relationship? Is it financial something, or perhaps you're greatly concerned with a health need you have? Is it a task that he set before you? Is it a child that is not going in the direction that you want to see them go? And let me assure you of this, or encourage you with this, as long as it's not something sinful that you need to go and repent of, be strong and courageous, and you can be assured that God is with you. Morning, noon, and night. He will never abandon you, so keep studying his book his user manual for life. Don't go to the right or to the left. He stands next to you. So hear him say, I chose you for this. I raised you up. I placed you where you are in life right now. So be strong and courageous. In fact, let's put up verse 1:9 on the screen here. I'd encourage you, this is a great verse to memorize. And if you don't have it memorized, let's begin that today. Do we have that? There we go. This is my command, to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to say this together. So stand, and let us say this together. If you don't have it memorized, let this be the first day that we begin this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of God. Absolutely, thanks be to God. You can be seated. In the first half of this chapter, it's very personal. It's a one-on-one conversation between God and Joshua. And then the second half of this chapter shifts, and we begin to look at what is the responsibility of the Israelites. It goes from a personal connection to a corporate responsibility. In verse 10, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, "Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you." Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, Remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has given you rest, until they too possess the land your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned you. Then they answered Joshua, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous." The people are told to get ready. They weren't to move forward haphazardly. They were told what was about to happen and what their responsibility was. And in such, they needed to gather their supplies. Because the manna was the bread that spread up across the land every morning that fed the people. It's not there anymore. It's no longer existing. So they have to gather their rations. They have to think through, what do I need before I go into battle? And I need to have that ready. When our men and women of the military are called into active service, they need to be prepared. They say goodbye to their families. They have their equipment packed. And they know where they keep their weapon. Joshua has just told his commanders to get the people ready for active service. And the people respond, "Yes, sir." They're willing to do whatever is asked or required of them to take the land that was promised to them under Abraham. They're willing to follow Joshua into battle as long as they see him following the Lord. And they also encourage him, yet again, to be strong and courageous. So, let's take this down to an Eastminster level. Our church is approaching a change in leadership as Pastor Stan nears retirement. He is a godly man with a rich understanding of the scriptures and theology, and many of you have enjoyed his preaching for the last decade. And now that he's leaving, you might question, well, what's that mean for us as a church? In the EPC, there are two types of pastors that come in to a church when a senior pastor leaves or retires. The first is an interim pastor. The role of an interim pastor is to stand and fill the pulpit, to keep status quo and keep the church functioning. The second type of pastor is a transitional pastor. A transitional pastor comes into a church, learns, evaluates, and he prepares a church to be in the healthiest place they possibly can to receive their next senior pastor. And that is the type of pastor we will be receiving, a transitional pastor. You know, or you've heard that Ron Hawkins will come and fill that position, and he will be joining us in February. You're going to learn and grow under Pastor Ron's teaching and preaching. And some of you, you're going to fall in love with him, and you're going to say, can you just be our next senior pastor? Can you stay permanently? Which is great to love the person that comes in, but that's not his role. His role is to prepare us as a body to receive our next senior pastor. And I believe that our sovereign God has the next lead pastor prepared for Eastminster. I don't know who that is, but I am confident that God will reveal that to us in his time. Whether that takes 6 months or 2.5 years, may we be patient enough to wait as God molds and prepares our next senior pastor. So then, Israel had a place to play in taking the promised land. They had to be prepared. What is our role as a body? And what are we to do during this transition? Well, we are to get ready. How can we be strong and courageous when at the place we find ourselves right now as a church? So there are 3 points here in Joshua that we can hold on to as an Eastminster body to help us move strongly into the future. The first one is to remember, is to honor those who came before without dwelling in the past. Or as one commentator said, to remember your past and to live into your future. Now Joshua and the Israelites honored Moses, and at the same time, they realized that they needed to move forward. They remembered what he did. Never told bad stories, but they told stories of the Red Sea and all the things that Moses had did over and over again to their children. And while remembering that, they also honored and agreed to support Joshua. So for us, let's honor Pastor Stan. Let's remember his preaching. Remember the things that you learned in his prayer class. Remember the times that he counseled you. Tell stories about the times that God used Pastor Stan to work in your life. And at the same time, let us support Pastor Hawkins and the next senior pastor that will come in. Let us give them the freedom to lead in the way that God designed them to lead. The Israelites joyously received their new leader. They surrendered to his leadership. They trusted that God put him there, and they agreed to do what he said. Church, let us respond in the same way as the next senior pastor comes in. The second thing to help us is to remember that there are going to be challenges. There will be challenges ahead, and let us be strong and courageous through them. Joshua told the people what was coming. They knew that the transition into the promised land was not going to be easy. It was going to be a battle. For them, it was an actual physical battle. People would be injured, people would be maimed, and some would even be killed. They would have families back at home wondering, what is going on with my husband, my father? Now, thankfully for us, no one is going to be maimed in our transition process. And no one is going to lose their life as a result of it. But there may be many people that question, how long is this going to take? When is our next senior pastor coming? And you're going to be left wondering. I encourage you to stay strong through this process. Be a person that prays through this process with us. Be an encourager to those who are discouraged. Be the ones who look for good in people and their situations. And I confidently assure you that we will come through the transition process better than we entered it in. I know this because the Lord promises that he is with us and that he will not abandon us. And I can look at the past of this church and I know that we have gone through many transitions with pastors over the course of our history. And the last thing for us is to remember that we are in this together. All 12 tribes of Israel had a part to play. 2.5 tribes already got their inheritance. They were settling into the land that they were given. They were beginning to live comfortably. And Joshua comes to them and says, we're in this together. You guys need to get ready too. And not only do you guys need to get ready, you're going to be the ones that are leading us in battle. They could not enjoy what the Lord had given them until everyone received what they were promised, because they knew that they were in this together. And we, Eastminster family, are in this together. We are uniquely bound as a body of believers here in this congregation. And may we lean into that over the course of this next year. And during the time of transition approaching, I would encourage you to get involved in a grow group. A grow group is people that come together, study the Bible, care for each other. If you have not seen this in your homes yet, it will be coming. We have copies here. This is our winter and spring guide. And in here, it lists all the grow groups. Some meet at the church. Some meet in people's homes. Some groups are for people who to read books together or to sew together, for parents with small children, or for those coming together and grieving. I encourage you to find a group if you're not in one, because being part of this body who has 3 services and the largeness of this church, sometimes we can feel disconnected. And especially now that our senior pastor is retiring, that disconnect feeling can grow. So I encourage you to get involved with others in the life of this body to stay connected, because that helps us to remember we are in this together. We're not alone. And if you want to find a grow group, I'd encourage you to look through this, seek something out, call Pastor Matt at the church office or send him an email, and he can help you as he oversees this ministry that we have. So be encouraged to be courageous and let us move forward together. We are the Eastminster team. We have a tremendous staff. We have solid elders. We have caring deacons. We have cheerful greeters, and we have wonderful congregants. We are in this together. At the beginning of this message, we learned who the backup to Mahomes is, that Blaine Gabbert. Now, often you don't know who the backup guy is until they step onto the field. And when your franchise quarterback goes down or retires, you hold your breath in anticipation of what's going to happen next. Who's coming in? How will that next guy perform? After Joe Montana came Steve Young. After Bart Starr came Brett Favre. After Brett Favre came Aaron Rodgers. After Drew Bledsoe came Tom Brady. After Stan Vandenberg, I don't know. But may we as a church be strong and courageous while we wait. We're going to pray, and I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward as we pray. Heavenly Father, may we take this book of instruction and meditate on it. May we find comfort from our fears. May we allow it just to absorb into who we are. Lord, and as we follow you, may we be strong and courageous, moving into the future, moving into transition. Lord, we trust you, and we know that you have the next person here. So give us patience while we wait. Bless Pastor Stan in his retirement. May it be a joyous time. May he continue to grow deeper and deeper with you. And Lord, in that time of transition, may that be true of us, growing deeper and deeper with you. Lord, to you be the glory. Lord, we thank you for the time of offering. We ask that you would bless it, that you would multiply it. May it support the ministries we have here and abroad. Lord, to you be the glory. Amen.